So this is not exactly the palm branches. They might have waved. The ones that's actually closer to the original palm branches, it's somewhat not legal to ship into California. Yeah, you'll find those strange things. So they're not really sold in California either. You can grow them, though. You can't sell them somehow. So anyway, this is the branches that we were able to purchase. So they were holding this and waving it. You know, very interesting kind of image if you think about it. And there's only one other place that talks about people actually having palm branches in their hand. You know where that is? A Revelation. In Revelation, after listing the 144,000 chosen ones, they're all wearing white robes and palm branches in their hand. And believe it or not, it's only John who specifically mentions it as that's palm branches. Luke doesn't even say anything about branches. He just talks about the cloth. And Mark says leafy branches that they cut from the field. That doesn't sound like really palm branches. And Matthew says people are waving branches of trees. Very interesting. Four Gospels. One, no mention of branches at all. Only one specifically mentions about palm branches.
And in the Old Testament?
Yes. Oh. We're going there. Yes. So, palm branches. The first real emphasis is today's reading. And it kind of just like, it appears in one verse and kind of disappears, as if it's nothing that important. But if you put that in the context, today's reading is right kind of after they did the amazing, majestic Red Sea crossing. You know, Moses divides the water and they walk on food in the middle of the ocean, and the army of Pharaoh chasing after them were swallowed by the water. And they just experienced and felt the mighty power protection of their God. And Moses sang a song about it, and Miriam sang a song about it. And right after that, you know what happened? They were thirsty. So they complained about water. You know, like, if you put that in together, it's kind of pretty amazing. It somehow shows how quickly our mind changes. You know, if you have amazing experience, how long does that really last? Or how quickly that could go away? Like, let's say you went, I don't know, watch a movie or went to a wonderful lecture, you're fully inspired, and you get into the car and driving, somebody cuts in, and what happens? Mind goes, right? Somehow it shows how quickly our mind shift, meaning how unstable we are. So, yeah, right after that amazing, beautiful, majestic story, they walk into desert. There's no water. They complain. But first water they found was bitter. I mean, each one has like really, really deep stories. I'll have to skip it because today's not that day for that. But so Moses pray and God give a piece of wood. They put it in, and the taste of water changes. And then suddenly God comes in and saying, this you need to remember. And reminding them, one line just repeating, You need to do what is pleasing, what is good to my sight. Not to each other, not to your own sight. When we're doing something good, we need to do it in a way that it is actually good to God's sight. And after assuring that, they were led to this place called Elim, which had 12 springs, right? 12. What a coincidence. Right? Number 12 appears again. With 70 palm trees. Again, what a coincidence, right? 70. 70 palm trees. Palm trees means what in those days? Food. Exactly. And that was one of the main source of their food. Dates. Huge, actually. Big dates. And 70 of them. And if you really are very pragmatic, realistic person, you'll have to argue back to me, saying, that's not enough. Because how many people were there? People between 15 and 50 are 600. Plus kids and adults, and et cetera, et cetera. So we're talking about 2 million people with the 70 palm trees. Do you think that's enough food? So again, only thing is that these numbers are very symbolic. It has meaning. 12 disciples, 12 tribes, 12 springs. It's not just lakes, palm, springs. You know what spring is? Spring means fresh water is coming out all the time. That's the fountain, that's the spring too. So in Swedenborgian theology, spring represents the word, the source of life, the source of the truth. There are 12 of them. And 70 palm trees. And where you find those palm trees in Old Testament? Temple. The wall of temple was fully decorated with all the palm trees. And also in the real temple, but also there's Ezekiel. He sees temple in his vision. And in his vision, this wall also was fully decorated with palm trees. Interesting, isn't it? And when Jesus was coming in, pretty dramatic and very interesting story. You know, he went in Jerusalem many times, but this time he intentionally decided to have a colt, which is like a young donkey, and to ride on it. You know that signature. That is traditional symbol of I am coming to be king. That is ancient tradition that is actually set by King David. See? And people recognized it, acknowledged it. And then they welcomed Jesus with these palm branches on their hand. What is palm branch? I mean, last time I was talking about what did Jesus win, because that is kind of you welcome victors, the generals or emperor, king who go out, you know, battle, and then after winning the battle they come back and you welcome them for their victory. What did Jesus really win?
The hearts and minds of people.
Yes. And the palm branches. In Swedenborg's symbolic correspondences, palm branch symbolized to be good. Good. So I spent a good time thinking about what is good. Do you, somehow, these days, I hear more this phrase, more, good is not good enough. You have to be better or great. I mean, there's a book about good to great. I read the book. Excellent book, actually. At a point. Because staying where you are is good, but that's not good enough. You need to have ambition to be great or better. But somehow it symbolizes good. What is good? Is it action? Is it a state of being? Is it quality that you have in your spirit? Is it something that you can show in your words? Is it something that you can just accumulate by doing things like charitable work? I got one good, I helped that lady, I got another good. Is it something that you collect like that? And you can show it to God saying, God, I have collected 25 or 250 goods here. What are my rewards? In Swedenborgian tradition, good is something that actually becomes permanent part of your angelic body. A good is actually your being, your essence, something that actually be there as you forever. Good is not just action, word, it is inside and out and whole complete. And problem with this here is that good could be good just to you. Good could be good just to your family. But good could be good to, actually, God. In Hebrew word, the word good is tov. And the first time it's used is in Genesis. God created light first, and God saw light, and light was good. And I'm holding a piece of paper because I didn't dare to memorize all this too much. But this word tov has been translated in King James Version. It occurred about 559 times. 361 times it's good. 72 times better. 20 times well. 16 times goodness. 9 times goodly. 8 times best, 7 times merry, 7 times fair. Prosperity, precious, fine, wealth, beautiful, fairer, favor, glad, and etc. 35 times. Interesting? And it has, the origin of this word has meaning that something that is pleasant, something that is delightful. Something that delights you, pleasant to you. Something that makes your heart a little tingle and happy. That we call good. And in Greek, there are two words that are used quite commonly to describe good. One is called kalos, the other one is agathos. And kalos appears about 100 times, and agathos appears about 102 times. It's about the same. And translations, sometimes they are like kind of two different Greek words, but basically translated as same. But kalos has more into like beautiful, better, commendable manner, excellent, fair, fine, good, high, honest, honorable, right thing, sound, treasure, what is right. Those are kalos. Agathos has, in the sense, generous, good man, good thing, good things, goodness, good, kindly, kindness. So the reason I am mentioning all this to you is that when we say good, or I'm doing a good thing, I'm a good person, our first inclination is that it is pleasant to me. It is delightful to me. Somehow it pleases me to do so, to say so, or to be so. Or it is beneficial to me. It is profitable to me. It is helpful to me. Therefore, I define that as good. That is our first inclination. And that's why people complain right after that amazing Exodus. Simply because they saw the power and ability of their God. Yet, as they enter into the desert, they get thirsty. They didn't ask God, saying, God, where's our water? This was God who actually, right, took them out of Egypt and just parted this ocean. Right? They could just simply ask. And as a matter of fact, as you can hear in this story, God actually prepared them this place with the 12 springs and 70 palm trees. They were going there, actually. They were going there. But they couldn't help to complain. Why? It wasn't good for them. Too hot. I'm thirsty. I need water now. Right now. I need it now. It is not pleasant to me. Therefore, I have to complain. So this good palm branch is definitely not his first inclination. That's why this whole process of rebirth, regeneration, born of spirit and water is taught by Jesus. We need to earn, cultivate this second inclination. We cultivate ourselves, our nature, to be the way it is pleasing to God. It is delightful to God's sight. That's the good. That's the good that you can hold in your hand and wave, welcoming your God. And that's why in Revelation they're wearing the white robes. Clothes, robe, symbolizes your behaviors. It includes actually everything, though. Your thoughts, words, actions, facial expressions, everything that's in the cloth, everything that you show to others, that needs to be washed. And you need to hold palm branches, the good that is refined, that is pleasing and delightful to God's sight. A little bit heavy today, but I hope this encourages you to rethink about how you are living, how you're doing, and how you're welcoming your God. And what is indeed good for you, and actually for you to hold and give and present to your God, and saying, with this good God, I welcome you. May God bless you. Amen.